Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for this book that we are fixing to open again to be taught and read here on these premises. And dear Father, we ask that you give us what is needed for the hour. Help our hearts to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Help us make it applicable to our life. And dear Father, may this subject today, we see something that maybe we've never seen before, would help us in our own Christian life to be the mouthpiece for God until we see you face to face. I ask that you'd help me to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you'd help glorify yourself. And the Holy Spirit, I pray you'd help us be obedient to you as you do both of these in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. It amazes me how you know something all your life. You may repeat it all your life and never really understand the depths of the subject. And that's what this subject's about. A few weeks ago, this little rhyme came to my mind that every one of you who's had any time in Sunday school in your life when you were small learned this little rhyme. It's about Zacchaeus. How many of you remember learning that when you were in Sunday school years ago? All right, we're going to teach it to you right now if you don't know it. Can you help me on it? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up on a sycamore tree for he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed by, looked up in that tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today. Now, it amazes me. We know that man by name. We know it's Bible. But how much do we know about him? One day, there was a man named Jesus coming to Jericho. And for some reason, he stopped everything he was doing and wanted to see this man. He was low in stature. But he was a rich man. Now, that said something about it. First of all, when you think about Zacchaeus being low in stature, I assume he would be like we'd call today a midget. He certainly was smaller than others. And I thought about this, what it must have been for him to be among this Jewish nationality and yet be so small that probably he felt inferior a lot of times. I bet he felt inferior around his own people at times because he was so small. As I see this story, then I began to realize as I read this, and I'm going to read just a moment, how it doesn't say one thing in here at all about Zacchaeus getting saved, but it does say he did get saved. And that double talk. You don't find where there's any plan of salvation given other than the one who is the author of plan of salvation. He is salvation, Jesus Christ going to his house. And there's one word in there makes me know that he is saved, and then there's the result. The Lord God saw fit by the Holy Spirit to show us the result of his heart more so than what happened when he got saved. In other words, the result showed that he was saved as salvation came to his house. So this morning, let's look in the first few verses, and he said simply this, and it's in verse 1, chapter 19 of Luke. He said, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Notice that he was rich. And then he said, and he sought to see Jesus, whom he was, and could not for the press, because he was a little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus? First thing I read that, how do you know his name? You hadn't met him before. You say, well, he was God in the flesh. That was. And he could perceive things, and he may have. But could it possibly have been that they heard the other Jews talking about him after what happened? Heard that because he was a hated man, being a tax collector. How about you? Think with me a moment. He was his own people. He was a tax collector. He was chief of the tax collector. And by being a tax collector, which was a tax farming-like situation, the Romans would actually hire men from their nationalities a lot of times, and give them the right to collect taxes. And they had no jurisdiction how much to collect, other than be sure you get enough that Rome required. If Rome said it's 10% tax on the people, then he got the 10% tax. But Rome didn't care how much more they got. If Rome said 10% tax and he got 25%, then he got 15% to himself, because he could pocket every cent he got other than what he had to pay Rome. So you can imagine how these people were. No doubt he felt in fear. No doubt he had some problems with those around him. And no doubt he did get rich by charging more than maybe he should have. He was an enemy to these Jews. Now, I can think that. I'm thinking about this week. I thought about he's probably smaller than I am when I get like this. Can you see me now? I mean, I assume he's no higher than I am now. Can you imagine what it'd be with a crowd trying to see Jesus go by? So I'm trying to get an idea what this guy went through a lot to see this man. For God not do something to him in his heart, even beforehand. Amen. Now, you got to keep in mind, I can't get up now. you got to keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that when you think about Zacchaeus, he like I said before, he was being handled very roughly with his people. Let's read the rest of it and you see what I'm talking about. It said, and he ran before him, climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus. He said to him, he saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And the thing, I've been thinking about it, you didn't think, when you let me come, he said, Zac, come down, I must abide at your house today. Now, and he said, he made haste and he came down. And watch these words, and received him joyfully. Don't forget that now. Now watch. But then he had a problem. And when they saw him, that is these Jews who were there, and the city was crowded this day as Christ went through Jericho, they saw it, they all murmured and said that he was gone to be a guest with a man that's a sinner. Now you have to keep in mind, these Jews did not put any type of price on that in the sense of gaining things in their affection, because sinners were hated, and especially a tax sinner. And so he goes on, and Zacchaeus, when they said he's gone to be a man as a sinner, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods have I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. I'm going to tell you what, an unsaved man won't do that, and a lot of Christians won't do it. Now, what happened that one verse? You got to look between, you got to understand some Bible truths, that where God gives something at times, you can fill in the blanks and realize he couldn't be saved unless a certain criteria had been met. And Christ Jesus at this time has not gone to Calvary and died as of yet, so they have to believe what he says. In fact, the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet, and yet somehow or another, the grace of God had reached this man's heart. It could be the Spirit moved out and in instead of living in someone at this time, or it could be the fact that what Jesus said touched his heart, because Jesus Christ is equal to the Holy Spirit, by the way. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So if God the Spirit speaks to your heart, or God the Son speaks to your heart, it's going to be the same thing. They're going to have the same purpose. And then he says this, and Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. I don't know there's some things about people who they're saved or not. But I know this, the thief on the cross, when Jesus said, Today you'll be in paradise, he'll be in heaven one day. And I know that Zacchaeus is going to be in heaven because Jesus said, This day salvation come to your house. Now, it's the Savior telling us that these men were saved. Now, I know this, that the Bible teaches us, if thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's God the Holy Spirit telling us that a man to be saved meets that criteria. The only thing about it is, we hear sometimes people make confessions of faith, and we don't really know whether they're saved or not. But we have to accept the fact, if we see they make the profession of faith, and we see some fruit in their life, that they're a child of God. But I've got news for you. Where you and I can't read a heart, we can only see what we see with a physical eye, and that manifests the light of God through that person to see the works on the outside. Then we might say for sure we believe that person is saved. First, I believe they are when they say they're saved, but I'll tell you this. If a person says they're saved and they live like the devil not been saved, then there's certain changes. They can't be saved and do that. But Jesus said these men were saved. So salvation had come to them. And I like that. And then he puts this, he said, and Zacchaeus stood. And after he said that, and he said, I'll restore them fourfold. And then Jesus said to him, this day has salvation come to thy house, for so much as you have seen the Son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is was lost. Isn't it amazing? The verse statement, he said, why Jesus came, happened right here at this time when Zacchaeus, we find the record of him in this book. Now, a tax collector, I said, was very unpopular in Christ's day. The Roman system had a farming system out where people like could raise taxes. And ever since they took, the Roman government recruited local Jews and gave them percentage of what they collected. And the more that they could get out of the people, the more they were allowed to keep. And this caused much abuse from an unsaved person's heart. And, of course, the Jews, if believing the Levitical system, the Old Testament, and no doubt that's as far as he went if he was even a good Jew then. And then we find that this allows Zacchaeus to become a very wealthy man. As a matter of fact, he said he was rich. I remember hearing somebody say that recently, running for president, didn't you? Not only did he said he was rich, he said what the rich young ruler said in chapter 18, he was very rich. Well, you take this and understand the difference between this man and the chapter before when you have the rich young ruler. And we'll look at that in just a moment. Zacchaeus became very wealthy. Now the Jewish people saw him as a crook. They saw him as a traitor who worked as a spy for the Roman oppressors that was on their hand and in their lives in order to take money for them to give to the Roman government. And so Zacchaeus is a short, wealthy, hated man. The Bible says he was little stature. And when he heard about Christ's coming to Jericho, he is determined to see him. Wonder what caused that. I'll tell you, I don't think it's the egotistic of a man. Well, more than likely, when you think about who Jesus was and what he stood for, most people in the world didn't care for that. And certainly not a Jew who had come from the Old Testament system for hundreds of years and thought they were right with God where they were at until Christ came along and began to talk about you're your father, the devil, rather than even see Jesus Christ because you don't do what you do what your father says do, not what the heavenly father says do. And he tried to show the difference in comparison Old Testament and New Testament in the book of Hebrews, whereas what took place now, Jew and Gentile saved alike. But now as he presents himself, he has not gone to Calvary yet, and so he is looked at as being the Messiah among a lot of Jews, even though it depends where he was at and what he was saying at the time and who he was talking to. And Zacchaeus is a short man, and so he hears that Jesus is coming into Jericho, and he's determined to see him. The Bible says in verse 3 that he sought to see Jesus. That word means he just didn't say, you know, I hear Jesus coming through. I think I might go by there if I don't have something else to do. I think I'll go out there and see if I can find out where he's going. If I don't have something else, if I have business to take over, if I have family to take over, if I have something to take over, then that's all right. It don't mean anything anyhow. But I've heard about this man. He's an interesting man. I'd like to hear him. If I don't have anything else to interfere, I go out. No, that's not what he was saying. He sought a way to get there to where he was at. That means he devoted serious effort, desire, his aim or his wish was there. His earnest, his purpose in the way that he runs ahead as he knows the path where he finds out where Christ is going to go. He knows Jesus to pass by, and since he can't get in, and I would imagine that there was many people deep, and since he couldn't even crawl through to get to the front, if he did, they put him back because he said he was pressed back. And it'd be very easy to press a little fellow back. And he's still determined. He didn't stop that. Someone went home then. So if I'm not going to stay around and mess with this, I can't even get up there. Where's that? Not him. He knew the path where he was going. And he ran ahead. I don't know if he knew the sycamore tree was where it was at or not. He probably did. But I know where the path he went, he came to the sycamore tree. And therefore, he scooted up that thing and got him a good resting place to watch for Jesus to come by. This large tree he climbed. They say this robust evergreen sycamore tree could grow as high as 40 feet high and had many branches, and most of the time they went right down to the ground. So it had been very easy to climb. A child could have climbed it. But wait a minute, this is not a child. This is a man. This is a rich man. Now, no doubt, by him being small and being hated, that made him use abuse a little more to show these Jews, hey, Yes, all right, I've got the authority behind me. If you got to pay 10%, you got to pay 15%, you got to pay 25% this time. You got to pay, if this one here, I could see maybe this won't as bad an enemy as this one was, and this one, he said, no, you got to pay 10%. But you know what? I'm going to let you just pay 20%. Whatever it was, he always padded it, and that's where he got his riches from. And that's the emphasis here, and that's one of the reasons these people hated him so much. So Zacchaeus is ready to see Jesus. He seems to be drawn to God because he said, who is he? He seemed to be drawn to this man in the first part of that. He is so focused on Jesus Christ that he did not think about how unusual it appeared to others for him to be a man of status, probably live higher than most of the Jews did in that day, and in turn, he's climbing up a tree. A wealthy person doesn't climb up a tree. They bribe you to let me get a position. I guarantee you, somehow or another, if he'd have said to those people in the front, hey, this right here, if you give about three, what I'll do, I'll give you X number of dollars if you'll stand back and let me stand in front of you, I believe they'd let him do that. But that won't worry he's supposed to be. God's in charge of this, folks. And he's determined that he's going to see him, and he uses the imagination he's got to do what he's going to do. But he's got to keep in mind, God went by that tree. And in the promise of God, Zacchaeus got to that tree. Whatever the reason there, there was something happening in his heart about Jesus Christ already. God was doing something by what he heard. You see, it's words that we hear that God sanctions to touch our heart anyhow. And now he's looking to find more about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so focused that he don't think about it, appears. He dropped what he was doing due to being small in stature. He went to great lengths to respond to this inner prompting of grace, and it had to be it. This thing was more than just, you know, the king coming by or some providence of Rome coming by or some prince of Rome coming by or a legal person of Rome. Something in his heart was moved to believe there's something different about this man and what he's been hearing of him. And I'm sure that many were too busy to come out into the street to see the Savior anyhow. By the way, this man being rich, he could have said, you know, I'd love to go, but I just can't, my business is so bad, so good, I can't do it today. No, sir. Nothing was going to hinder him for being where he could be to see this man called Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 4, 6, verse 44, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up in the last days. There was a drawing to this man, and he responded to it. We can't explain how exactly, except the fact that what he'd heard about Christ, he wanted to know more. As he did, God revealed himself to him as the Savior, as the Messiah. This tug that he felt inside was the grace of God drawing him to God's Son. Notice, he says in verse 6, he said, he made haste and came down and received him joyfully, ladies and gentlemen. He received Jesus joyfully. You remember what Jesus said in John chapter 1, verse 12? You know the verse before that? He came to his own received him not. But verse 12, to many as received him, to them gave he power to come, the sons of God. Isn't it amazing? God's word that chose, the Holy Spirit chose the word receive here. He received him joyfully. Someone said, well, that's the fact that Jesus took note of him. That may have been. But this sets forth a principle that is more than just the joy of the flesh and lady, hi, Jews, I've got something on you. No, he knows something is different because we Christ came to him at this particular time. 3 points on this quickly I'll give to you. Number one is this. Jesus invites himself to dinner in verse 5 and 6. Notice what he said. And when Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw him, he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He invites himself. Jesus is walking alone, mobbed by the crowd. The crowd comes, he's probably pushed around a little bit as he walks in the street. He comes to this tree, he looks up in that tree, and he sees Zacchaeus, and he stops. Now the question I get here is, my mind, Lord, I wonder how he knew about you. I mean, you can say, well, God knew it. That's true, but now Jesus Christ also is God in the flesh, and he perceived things that may be. But it could have been that Zacchaeus, trying to get to see him, Jesus could have heard as a man. This publican, this sinner, this one we can't stand. You know, he's causing problems trying to get to see where he's at. But he runs ahead, and now Jesus hadn't stopped to talk to anybody else we know of this time. But he comes to that tree, and all the multitude of people, all the people in Jericho at this time, he stops in that tree and looks up and begins a conversation with Zacchaeus. And I imagine it's surprised him. What if he hadn't fell out of the tree? Because Christ is talking to him. Jesus had never met this man before. And remarkable, Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. Did Jesus know Zacchaeus ahead of time? Or could he have heard it mentioned by the crowd who showed their anger against Zacchaeus, the tax collector? Because they even showed later, if you see in verse 7, what they were murmuring at this particular time. I mean, Jesus calls out to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. I must abide in your house today." Did amazing thing about it. I know this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 18. Jesus said he perceived the wickedness of the Pharisees trying to trick him. I know he said also in Luke 20, verse 23, that he perceived the craftiness of the scribes and those leaders of trying to trick him. So I know this. Jesus, as the Son of God and the Son of Man, could perceive what's in people's heart. By the way, he didn't have to wait and go look it up every time something asked him. He had the answer right then. That shows he was God. Even when he's 12 years old, we see a smartness of him that's different. And yet the Bible says he grew in favor of man and also of God when he grew up. So there's a man part of that we have to realize, and I'm glad. Folks, listen, you may never understand how the demarcation between God and man. Jesus Christ is all God, and Jesus Christ is all man. And you and I never understand that, but you better be glad he is. Because listen, ladies and gentlemen, as God, he could withstand anything and knew everything and be able to handle everything. But he was a man also. And that says to you and I, as a man, he's not handling it as God. He's handling it as the God-man. As a man, he can handle anything you and I face. Anything comes our way, he can give us victory over it. In fact, he's already gave us victory at Calvary over it. There's nothing you and I face that he don't have an answer for us. And I guarantee you, somewhere in this book, there's an answer for it if we'll just search it out for the Holy Spirit of God. So I see him now really showing that he's leading up to this last phrase when he said, "The Son of Man is to come to seek and save that which is lost." Today I must abide in thy house. That word means, Zacchaeus, today I'm going to spend some time. I'm going to dwell. I'm going to lodge. I'm going to live there a little bit with you. Because we got some things to discuss. And of course, Zacchaeus was tickled enough to have him. Someone might say this is presumptuous and rude. I mean, who'd ever heard tell of Jesus asking someone, "Let me go eat with you"? Well, he didn't do it because he's hungry. But so I said, that's rude. He's just invited himself to man's house. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Zacchaeus is glad he did invite him to his house. And by the way, you ought to be glad you have. And I'm talking about the temple here has been the place where he comes and dwells in our hearts and lives. And I'm grateful. He said, "Make haste. I must abide." Zacchaeus is overjoyed in verse 6. It just blesses my heart. He receives him joyfully. And I just believe based on what Jesus said in verse 8, after the Jews said what they said in verse 7, not only did he receive him joyfully for that, he was elated that Jesus even paid him any mind, called him by name, shocked him, I'm sure, and now he's going to come to his house. And you know, he's not even prepared for him to come, but he's tickled to death he's going to come. And I believe just as much so as anything, God is not showing us all that went on in the house at the supper time, but he's showing the results of it and saying it's simple. If you just believe God, just do what God says to do. Not what you think he said, but what he spells out to say about salvation. And I believe we can see that in this man. He scrambles down the tree and he welcomes Christ to his home. He receives him and entertains as a guest. Wouldn't you think everybody would be tickled to death? Why, this man, the Messiah, we said, this one he'd give all these claims to, wouldn't it be wonderful if he'd go in somebody's home a little while? Well, look in verse 7. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is not just a tax collector, but that is a sinner. Shocked through that this Jewish crowd, The Jews made themselves, you see, they looked at this thing as, they made themselves ritual impure by, they become ritual impure by entering in a sinner's house. They didn't realize, though, Jesus Christ did not become impure by entering in a sinner's house, but a sinner could become pure because he did go in their house. And they failed to see that. Instead of rejoicing over the fact of what he might do for this sinner to change him. Man, I guarantee you, if they know what he's going to do in verse 8, they'd been tickled to death. But look what they did before they found out that. He's a sinner. Who is this man that would dare deal with a sinner? No Jew would do that at that time. Because they had been taught. Sinners lost limit. They were, it's like Gentiles were dogs in that particular time. This is just what they were taught. A sinner could not make Jesus impure and enter the house. Jesus did not invite himself because he was hungry. Now, Jesus knows something about the desire and the earnest of this man's heart, and he's going to answer that before he leaves that house. He saw Zacchaeus' crime. He looked to him past the crime that he has done for those people were saying to his heart. And though he had done that in the past, he knew what his heart was now. And he opened up the grace that prompted him to climb that particular tree. God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness has entered that home through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all of those things for the sinner. And therefore, Jesus' presence is responsible for providing the salvation and forgiveness to a wealthy man who is starving for spiritual life. And he can do that for the poor just as good as he can for the wealthy. You see, it isn't this man's status. They're all sinners anyhow. They need saving by God's grace. And then, number two, not only did Jesus invite him there, number two, Jesus is a guest of a sinner. And you see that as they talk about in verse 7. I mean, the choice of a dinner guest like Jesus did not make Zacchaeus any more, didn't make Jesus any more popular now. In fact, he's lost some of his popularity because of where he went to. And when you see this, these Jews were stunned. They were honestly because of their direction that they'd been taught. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, they began to mumble and grumble and complain that Jesus Christ, who they thought would be the one that had been sent, and even to believe, though the leaders did not, now all of a sudden has proven that he's not because he'd gone somewhere he should not have gone. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, you better thank God that Jesus loves us enough. Whether or not others approve of us or not, he loves enough to come to us. Amen. And that's what he did here. Thank God for that. I mean, these Jews were jealous that Jesus honored his presence in such an unworthy citizen's home. And therefore, they began to doubt who he was. Number three, Zacchaeus shows a repentant heart, though, in verse 8, when he said what he did. Notice, it says that he stands up, or then Zacchaeus stood. So it says to me he must have been somehow or another, maybe he might have been sitting, but I think he's probably on his knees at this time. There's something going on with Jesus Christ and Zacchaeus that's not said here, but we do know this. He stood up. Now when he stood up, there's something to take place. This indicates that he maybe had fallen to his knees before Jesus Christ, recognizing he's someone that he didn't think he was, but he's much better than that. And I believe this shows a reaction to the criticism and shame that Zacchaeus knew that Jesus had got because of him. You think that Zacchaeus didn't hear what these people said about Jesus Christ? Him thinking he's a pure man, a good man, maybe even the Messiah, and now they're saying because he went to Zacchaeus' house, he's got to be a sinner himself. He's dealt with sinners. He must not be who he is. They begin to discredit him, and Zacchaeus sinned that Jesus Christ now has been shamed. Why? Because he was good enough to go to Zacchaeus' house. And yet they're saying he's not good enough to be there. And here they are. And no doubt there's something going on as Jesus speaks it to him in this hour. Whatever took place from the time he heard what they were saying to the time he rose up before Jesus, he shows the result of his heart. Now God may not tell everybody to do this, but when they saw it, remember he said, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. What an amazing thing. Now, this went way beyond the 20% that rabbis would consider to be very generous in the Old Testament covenant. I mean, when you see this, he offered half of his possession. If you go back to chapter 18 and look down to verse 18 through a few verses, you see Jesus gives the example of the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler here goes through and he says to him, called him good master, and the Lord said, why callest thou me good and so forth? There's only one God. Verse 20 said, thou knowest the commandment, Jesus does. You know the commandment. Then notice he just said, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor the father and mother. And as he blessed this, he said, all these I've kept, or all of these I have from my youth. You know, the Lord didn't name them all. It might have been these are the ones himself that maybe the guy didn't have a lot of trouble with. He said, all these I've kept. Then the Lord said, but there's one thing you lack. He said to him, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. Someone said, well, that's amazing. You know, Jesus is kind of a radical person to tell a person to sell anything. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. What Jesus said to this rich young ruler, you got one problem that's always going to hinder you. Unless you remove it, you'll never believe who I am. See, he knows our heart. He knows the results afterwards we say we will or will not. And he said, this is going to hinder you. And what? And he said, what he said is true. Jesus knew his heart. He won't willing forsake anything to follow Christ, let alone trust him. And he said, and he heard this. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful. What? For he was, wait a minute. He was not just rich. He was very rich. That means he was richer than Zacchaeus was. And he said, no, it's not worth that. Zacchaeus, though, whatever happened, probably some of the same line that God was saying, the only thing God is showing the result here is Zacchaeus said, Lord, I see myself. I've done wrong. I'll give half my goods. And anybody I find that come to me that have to default in any way, he said, I'll restore them fourfold. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is an amazing thing. He has a priority in the right place for his life. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 through 33, when God gave the tithe to Israel, he said to them, if they neglect to give that tithe, they would give 20%, fifth, 20%. And some people laugh at that. You wait, you stand before God one day, you find out God don't laugh about what he's doing. Because he holds it true. You know, someone says, well, we're in the New Testament now. Well, bless your heart. You don't know more than the Jews knew. Because we have a Bible and the Holy Spirit living in us. Did you know you and I, and a saved Gentile and a saved Jew, can understand today more what God's doing than what they did in the Old Testament at all, even though at the time of the Old Testament they believed and God did do that. But aren't you glad that was to lead us to the best? And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ should come. And so here, this is a sign of salvation, had come to his house. And when he did this and showed the result, verse 8 is the result of his heart, folks. Show there was nothing, and best thing in the world, that could get a person off track is finances, especially if you have a lot of those. And by the way, you don't have to be, you know, rich to have that problem either. Because I'm glad when God gives something, he gives it to us as it is, a statement that is fair to all. He did not say that if I'm sued, that go back to chapter 19 again, Zacchaeus didn't say, oh, you know, I'll do it if I'm sued or if I'm compelled by the law to do it, I'll do that. I'll make that restitution. No, sir. That's the way some people have done it as far as court is concerned. But he said, here this time, Zacchaeus said, I'll do this voluntarily, Lord, with humility. And it revealed to himself to be a changed, repentant person. It revealed himself to have something that money could not buy. And he knew that. And Jesus had offered to him. And he received that. According to Exodus chapter 22, verse 7, Moses' law requires only to make a double compensation for anyone who lost money and was found, or someone who stole money or something was found, or someone was taking money from someone and later they were found guilty of that. It was required under law, Exodus 22, verse 7, that to make a double compensation. But he was doing more than a double. He had to have an act of grace. I mean, he could say, bless God, I'm just doing what the law says to do, and I'll be all right. But he did more than that. Why? God had done a miracle of grace in his heart, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 9 and 10, Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. So what's happening here? God's grace moved Zacchaeus out to the street and up that tree. I believe that. Whatever's happening in his heart, he doesn't understand. There's something that was drawing him. The fact he wanted to know more about this man, maybe he knew his heart wanted what it should be, and maybe he knew this man might show I don't know, but something drove him there. And Jesus' offering to have lunch with Zacchaeus was pure grace. And by the way, it's pure grace for you and I if he comes to us and offers it. Salvation is pure grace. Pure grace. Pure mercy. Boy, when you see that, money can't buy it. Zacchaeus could have said no at this time. He could have said, I have other appointments, I'm too busy, and you hear, hey, don't you hear that these days? Things have come up, I can't, I'd love to, but I can't. And we find ourselves explaining some things away. And what a sad thing if he hadn't have been where he should have been. And he goes on, and the door must be open from within. God doesn't force people to react to him. The door is open from within. To receive Christ's invitation means that our hands are empty, and this is the things that we must let go because our hands are empty so we can receive what God himself offers to you and I. What he gave up was nothing compared to what Jesus offered. By the way, this is true for you and I. What we give up in this life is nothing compared to what God has offered us. If God asks us to give it up for some reason or another, and everyone who's gone full time, you understand what I'm talking about. There are some things. There's not a person in here who served God. You know, listen to my voice on radio or by upstream, whatever. There's not a person that's listened to my voice sometime or another hadn't found this thing out, that there is such a thing as things can get in the way if you're not careful. And we know what it is to give those things up. Because there's some things God will not use us if we don't give it up. Why? They hinder us from serving him. Jesus takes our shame upon himself. He did it willingly and waiting and desiring for us to understand and receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And then once we trust him as Savior, he wants us to move forward by growing in grace and knowledge to serve him, the one who saved us. Zacchaeus turned from his sin to God. We see that. We see in verse 9 again. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house. And the only one I know of he's dealing with at this time is Zacchaeus. And anyone else in that home, even as Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, meaning that they do the same. So Jesus said that he is a true son of Abraham. Galatians 3:29 shows he's talking about spiritual seed. As Jews are genealogists through the seed of Abraham, then they are spiritual seed, and so our Gentiles become spiritual seed as they trust Christ as Savior, since Jesus Christ is a descendant, as far as Mary is concerned, set on the throne of David. So Zacchaeus, only Jesus could change a man like Zacchaeus that was hated by the Jews. In verse 9, I believe he did that. This day, salvation has come to the house. God shows his changed heart by what he does. And by the way, isn't that what the Lord tells us? You've heard me say many times, folks, that there's no way anyone can see that you're saved if you just say you're saved, because they can't see your heart. But when you go out those doors in this world, they need to see more than your word. Now, your words are important if they're read from the scriptures, to draw someone to the Lamb of God. But when you go out those doors, they have to see more than just what you say. And therefore, that will back up your walk, should back up your talk. And God will be blessed. And I think about what happens is this. I read a true story. It's the most unusual story and gives a good example. A man by the name of Steve Wenger. He's from Lubbock, Texas. Where that's at. He had a final exam in a course of college called the logical class, or the logic class. And the professor was a hard, difficult man, it seemed like. Everybody didn't like him. And he got hearing some things during the year, what's been said. It came time for an exam. And the professor got an idea, and he said, you know, I'm going to do this year. And he announced to the class, he said, young men and women, he said, this year I'm going to allow each student to bring as much information you can put on one notebook sheet of paper. You'd study this, and you write one notebook sheet of paper, and you put it on your desk, and you can use that as a reference to anything I asked you for on this exam. Well, they did. Some of them wrote all over that paper up and down, where they could get something. It was filled up. But one young man, he must enjoy his logical class. Because he came up with this thing. He came in that morning for the exam. He had a blank piece of paper, notebook size. He laid it right on the floor beside of his desk. When he got ready to do the exam, the teacher saw it wasn't there. He said, well, what you got on your paper? He said, I've got coming in right now. Here comes a feller. In walked a feller who was the top man in the logic class. And he stood on that paper. And the professor was stunned. He said, you said any of the information I could get on that notebook paper. And so he let him do it. He made an A on it. Nobody else in the class made an A. You say, preacher, what's that story got to do with Zacchaeus? It has more to do with us. Because, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. One day, we're going to stand before God Almighty with his ultimate exam, asking the question, this question. Simply this. He's going to ask, why should I let you? And I'm just doing this to get a closer course. Of course, I know this. It's already settled if you're saved. But we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to have our works tried. And those who are not saved, are going to appear at the great white throne judgment of God. But we're going to stand before Christ one day, and he would ask, why should I let you into my heaven? Why should I let you in my presence to live forever? And we cannot pass that exam on our own. We don't have it. There's nothing at all that we can do to pass that exam in our own energy. But believe and claim the record and receive Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the one who's standing as that type on that paper that gives us the answer that makes us ready to enter the kingdom of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And why has it been taught today and fought today and destroyed his name? It's because the world hates that name more than they hate you and me. But because they hate that name, they don't believe God exists, so they think we're on a trail. We don't even know what we're on. But we can say, I'm not ashamed the day I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. I can't make it by myself even now that I'm saved. But God has given me the victory, and he's given me something that the world doesn't have. And though they may believe mine fictitious, this book gives me all that I need to know about him. It gives me everything I need to know about where I'm headed. It helps me understand things in this life, and that if he who is the light of this world comes into your heart, thank God Almighty he's able to live there by his Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave us alone. And just as sure as the day comes, God will say, in Christ, you're justified. You have been declared righteous. Stand to your feet, please. My Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, again for the Word of God. Thank you for Zacchaeus. Lord, I've sung about him all my life. As a kid coming up through Sunday school, even though my parents weren't saved, they saw fit for me to be in Sunday school. And I thank you for that. And dear Lord, I pray that you help us today to understand we have nothing to offer God but ourselves. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as Peter calls it, that we can be washed in. Help someone see this is not some Mickey Mouse stuff, Lord. Some Walt Disney fantasy. This is a reality of God. How much he loved humanity to work through the years such a wonderful plan of salvation. Dear Lord, help someone today. Let not this be a time of wasted spiritually. One of the junior churches, teen church, someone listen by radio, someone who minutes, listen by you stream today, somewhere that can see anywhere in the world. Let them see, Lord, that how much you cared. And there's people, call your people, Christians, who've been born, Jew and Gentile alike, in the age of grace, who believe you enough to know that you're our Savior, and then who believe you enough to know to walk in that light is manifested with our life, though there's many spots along the way. Lord, we're still learning. We're still growing. Thank you. We know that you're there to help us.
I thank you every day, God, for this book. Without this book, I'd never known you. Without this book, Lord, I'd know nothing about you. I know someone exists, but I'd be like anyone else looking and think there's some force somewhere or another. You preserved this book today to proclaim it. And gave us characters like you did with Zacchaeus. There's so much we didn't see, but we see enough to know, Lord, you showed the results of what happens when one gets saved. In chapter 18, you showed the results of one who didn't get saved. Our Father, though salvation, when the Holy Spirit came, is a little bit different with the gospel being preached. When Jesus was here, his words were, thus saith the Lord. His words were that of God. And those disciples and those that believed on him and others who believed him, their belief, give them what is needed to have a relationship with you. Lord, have your way today, and we'll give you honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.